Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
According to news reports, President Trump will sign an executive order this morning directing money to building a wall on the southern border. He'll also order tighter limits on immigration. We're turning to Jessica Vaughn. She's director of policy studies at the Center for Immigration Studies for some analysis, and she joins us this morning from Boston. And Jessica, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And as Jessica and I talk about this, I'd like to hear from you. If you voted for President Trump, do you still think this wall is necessary? And for all of us, what do you think it will mean that the president is cutting back on immigration from some areas of the world? So if you're a supporter of President Trump's, is this something that you expected and you're happy about, the idea of directing resources into building a wall at the southern border? And for the rest of us, supported Trump or not, what do you think it will mean that the president is cutting back, apparently, on overall immigration from some areas of the world? Weigh in here by phone, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. I'm on Twitter, at CarrieMPR. Jessica, there's been some speculation about whether this wall would, after all, be mostly electronic or reinforced fencing. Do you get the sense now that this order that he's going to sign today gives you an indication that something more significant is going to go up at the southern border?
Absolutely, yes. There will be some actual wall being built, but they're also talking about adding additional layers to the places that already have fencing, but where it's just one layer of fencing and would benefit us to add more fortification to slow people down and to make it easier for the Border Patrol to apprehend people who are trying to go over or under those barriers. And of course, the most important thing is that it's going to be backed up. The physical border security is going to be backed up by policies that until now have been giving people who want to come here illegally an incentive to do so. He says he's going to cut down on asylum fraud and also end the catch and release policies that have limited what Border Patrol and ICE officers can do to enforce our laws. And equally important, there's going to be more of a focus on interior enforcement so that if you manage to get by our border barriers or if you come in on a tourist visa, for example, and overstay, you're not going to be able to be home free anymore.
Okay. Let me get some questions in here, if I might. I have a lot of questions about this. There's already a law that would permit President Trump to direct resources there to build whatever structure that needs to be built. Why does he need an executive order on this?
Well, he needs to tell the agencies to start doing it. They cannot take action. I mean, he's got the authority to order them to build the wall, but they don't have the authority unless they're told to do it.
There's a law in place. So they, under the authority of that law, they could have been told the border authorities or anyone else to continue to reinforce that structure at the border. Why hasn't it been done until now?
Well, part of it is because the Obama administration thought that was secure enough, but also because it does take some money to increase the infrastructure there, and the president's going to have to work with Congress to provide that money until there can be some offsetting revenue from other sources that he's talked about, like remittances or other, seizing assets from people who are here illegally or things like that. But he's got to have the money to do it. The authorization, you're right, is there. But someone has to tell these agencies to get started.
One other question about this before we go to some calls. There have been fewer people coming into the United States from Mexico than leaving it for some number of years. We are at negative net migration. President Trump never talks about that. And isn't that what would a wall really do to affect that, given the fact that is the fact?
Well, Mexico is not the only source country for illegal immigration. We're getting a lot of people now from Central America and also really from all over the world who are paying smugglers to bring them to Mexico to try to cross into the United States. So, you know, this is not just about stopping people from Mexico. Really, what President Trump is talking about is enforcing immigration laws so, you know, that no one can come here illegally.
But as you know, that most of the time when he talks about immigration policy, he talks about Mexican people coming over the border. He never mentions that more people are going back to Mexico than are coming in from Mexico. Isn't that an important part of this picture?
Well, I think it is important, but it's not the only factor. And for one thing, that statistic that you're citing is also counting the U.S.-born children of Mexicans who are returning. So it does kind of skew the statistic a little bit. That's not always carefully explained. So I'm not convinced that there are actually more illegal people who immigrated illegally from Mexico going home. But certainly we are seeing less of it from Mexico, and part of the reason for that is that people are seeing opportunities for themselves in their home country and go back. There's always churn in immigration. But again, we have to remember that this is not just about Mexico. There are lots of other sources of illegal immigration that need to be addressed.
A call here from John in Woodbury. Hi, John. How do you see this?
Hi, I'm a Trump supporter, and I support the wall. I'd like to say two things. One thing is the thing that it hasn't been talked about for a long time. I see it in news articles about the unemployment rate of men. It's like at 12%, and the wall and securing our borders, and also these countries that refuse to take criminals and other visa expired immigrants back. If we were to force them to take them back or restrict immigration or something, the male worker in the United States, I say, has a disadvantage. And the second thing is, I think the border shouldn't just be a simple little fence. I think it should be something as splendid as the Chinese wall. It'll increase tourism if it's so grand. And it also,
okay,
you know, it's a symbol of Donald Trump and what we've tried to accomplish. We've been stepped on all the workers of the United States. We can't compete.
John, I'm hearing two different themes there. Let me address, I think that last one, Jessica, John's, I think, viewing this as the kind of solid structure that is not in place in a lot of areas on the border. Is that what you think Donald Trump imagines? It's kind of hard to tell.
Yes, I do. From what I'm hearing, the intent is definitely to build what everyone would agree is a wall, and probably modeled on what the Israelis have done successfully to boost their security. And it has, you know, proven to be effective. The walls and every barrier, they slow down people who are trying to breach the border and make it easier for Border Patrol agents to apprehend them. And it's appropriate in the areas where the border can be patrolled, because, of course, it doesn't do any good to just have a wall if you're not going to stop people from climbing over it. So the idea is to have a layered defense, with the barriers being the first part, and use that to make the Border Patrol more effective, but also, of course, back it up with surveillance and so on. But what John also pointed out, you know, what the most important reason is for us to have immigration laws.
The job issue? Yeah.
To protect jobs for Americans and legal immigrants, and to keep employers from being able to replace them with unauthorized workers. So, you know, that's really, I think, one of the real motivations behind these actions that
Jessica,
President Trump is taking.
I think you know that there is a lot of dispute and a lot of economic evidence that points to the fact that the jobs that many people, especially undocumented workers, are taking are jobs that employers have a hard time filling with American workers. That's what the statistics show, and yet we continue to hear this rhetoric that says, well, if undocumented workers weren't taking these jobs, American workers would fill their jobs. Point me to several studies that say that is true.
Well, we've examined the evidence on this, and the fact is there's no such thing as a job an American won't do. The push for more immigration want to be able to pay the workers less, and that's why some Americans and legal immigrants have been pushed out of these jobs. If you look at the Census Bureau data on people's occupations, what you find is that every category of job in America has Americans doing it. In fact, there are only four job categories that are majority immigrant, and many of them are legal immigrants. Americans will want to work. They want any kind of job. There's dignity in any kind of work, but they deserve to be paid a reasonable salary so that they can support their families if that's what has to happen. And it's a shame that Americans have been forced out because we've allowed employers to bypass them in favor of illegal workers who quite simply just cost less.
Yeah, so you're pointing me to your own agency's research. Can you point to anything that comes from outside of your agency that says that these statistics are true? Because I've seen plenty of counter studies that apply to
this. Sure. The work of the National Academy of Sciences, they recently did a big report on the impact of immigration on the workforce. Harvard researcher George Borjas has documented the wage-depressing effects of illegal immigration, and found that the people who are most harmed by the employment of illegal immigrants are those Americans and legal immigrants who lack a high school degree and are already struggling in our economy.
I saw that research, and I did see that part of it that talks about wage depression, but it was so insignificant that it did not override the other side of this, is which employers find people for work that they cannot find.
Well, if you're only making $30,000 a year and you suffer an 8 to 10% cut in your pay because of competing with illegal workers, that is significant.
Let me take a call for you to Jacob in St. Paul. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually not a Trump supporter, and it's actually a little startling for me that he's wanting to cut back on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand we have to have our restrictions. You know, we want to ensure that our borders are safe. I get that. But it sounds like what Trump wants to do is return us to an isolation state, basically remove us from the world community and bring us back to a time before World War II where we basically were saying only America is going to take care of America. We're in a world now where we have to take care of our neighbors. We have to take care of those who are suffering and who are in need. I mean, from 1939 to 1945, we only took in 200,000 Jews. I mean, what if we had stepped up our efforts and had done more? We're in an opportunity now to do so, and I think we should.
Jessica, do you want to weigh in on that?
Sure. I mean, I think what the Trump administration is trying to do is to make sure that our immigration policies do not create problems for American communities or for American and legal immigrant workers, and that that's the priority, to restore the focus on the national interest rather than trying to appease all the various interest groups that benefit from increased immigration, whether it's employers or, refugee resettlement contractors or what have you. That's what he's trying to do, is put Americans and their interests first.
Can I ask you how you interpret the extreme vetting that President Trump has talked about when it comes to bringing immigrants or refugees in from some of these countries? I think he has specifically mentioned several Muslim countries. There's already, as you know, quite a lengthy process. I mean, Syrian refugees are going through this now. What else could be done, do you think, that would satisfy some of his concerns and apparently your concerns?
Well, there is a need for better vetting. There have been some really damning reports that have come out about the gaps in our screening process, and we've seen cases recently where people who went through that vetting process actually, turned out to be here because they wanted to attack us. like the San Bernardino terrorists and others. Frankly, though, there are some situations where we cannot possibly do enough vetting to be able to admit people. For example, in Syria, we just don't have enough information available. We have no way to vet those refugees. From other places, I think we can develop better screening, for one thing, starting to look at people's social media accounts, for another, doing a verification of the claims that people make on their applications and not approving them until we can be sure that they're telling us the truth and that we investigate the fraud. Because if they're lying about something on the application, there's a legitimate reason for concern. And we can also develop better contacts in these other countries to make, you know, to have a more secure process and know that the people that we're getting have been thoroughly screened, rather than just taking the UN's word for it, because their priority is not U.S. security. Their priority is resettling people. So there are a number of things. I think they're also talking about asking people questions to make sure that they do not harbor violent or intolerant views against groups, you know, that would be in violation of our law, like making sure that, you know, they don't have hateful attitudes toward women or the LGBTQ individuals or, you know, other religions and so on. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we can do a better job of screening for.
Let me ask you this just in a moment here that we have left. Do you anticipate that Congress will take up some kind of comprehensive immigration reform legislation in a way that it has not for the last, I don't know, before Obama into Bush, I guess 10 years?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there
you don't think so.
Immigration legislation that's passed in recent years, but it has been focused more on specific issues. And I think that we've seen that the comprehensive approach doesn't work, that a piece by piece approach is going to be much better.
All right.
And
Jessica,
the same people are pretty much in Congress, so I would expect to see the same thing.
Jessica, thank you for your views. I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Jessica Vaughn is Director of Policy Studies at the Center for Immigration Studies, and she was with us this morning for her views. She supports what President Trump has been talking about on the campaign trail and then indicating overnight in a tweet that he is going to direct resources towards building a wall at the southern border.